restart this subject, if you will turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, we'll start in verse 1. And I'm kind of going to start off back where I left off with if everybody wasn't here last week when I spoke about the spirit of Esau. And it is so, so important right now, especially in light of some of the things that I heard being spoken of tonight concerning the promotion of the covenant of peace, which is in itself a very motivating factor that I believe that is going to eventually, it's going to have to be curtailed, because there are certain things that we're going to have to do, because, you know, we can speak on the covenant of peace, but the terms of that covenant, how it relates to the issues in the world, are going to have to be put in writing. And this is what is coming to the light of. But in the mix of all of this, there are a lot of people right now that we have to be aware of, and certain issues that Yahweh is showing me in scripture, that always these things come up when the work is about to explode. And we're entering into Passover right now, which I want to talk about, because there are certain things that in order for Yahweh to be with us and to move this work forward, we're going to have to keep this Passover like none other. And because it will bring about a certain protection, for not only for the work, but for each individual here, if we embrace the concepts of the of Passover in the light that Yahweh wants us to do. And that's to, number one, is to see the significance of it and how it relates to the work that we're doing today, and the things that we got to be a guard against right now, and that's going to come from the outside and in the inside. And the only way to deal with this is a very difficult subject to deal with, because of the fact is, even myself, is that I see the spirit, the forces of the world, these demonic forces, how they're moving, and it only moves me even stronger to resist the attacks that are coming as a result of me not being willing to be controlled by individuals, and individuals who want to come in and assume authority that doesn't belong to them, and to assume a position that Yahweh is not given to them, and nor see the direction that Yahweh wants this work to go. So let's start up here in Jeremiah chapter 9. And we're going to continue off where I left off. And I'm going to move kind of quickly through this because I want to get to a point. It said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes are fountains of tears, so I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for the wayfaring men, so I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers. They are an assembly of treacherous men." And I want you to understand that what Jeremiah was going through at this time period, because this was all written for our learning, is to be aware of it. And notice verse 3 here. "And like their boat," remember this word boat, because we're going to get into this, "they make ready their tongue to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they have become strong in the land, for they perceive from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says Yahweh. Let everyone beware of his neighbor, and do not trust just any brother, for every brother could be a deceiving supplanter, and every friend could be a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They worry themselves in committing iniquity." Now turn over to Psalm 64, verse 1, because we're gonna get into this bow that the servants of iniquity, they use in order to undermine our determination. And notice in 64 verse 1 here, and it says here, hear our voice and our complaint. And this word complaint is setting forth the judicial aspect that Yahweh wants us to understand here. And this first sentence here shows you that this is a something that King David was presenting before the heavenly court of Yahweh in dealing with the things that I'm bringing forth right now and trying to hinder and undermine the work for glory that individuals want to assume on their own. Now, this word complaint means a prayer. And in the King James Bible, it actually says prayer. Hear our voice in our prayer. But every prayer, we know, is a petition or a complaint that is brought before the heavenly court of Yahweh. Protect our lives from the fear of the enemy. Hide us from their secret counsel. And remember, I spoke last week about the counsel of Absalom, and that the great prophet Habakkuk warns us against this counsel of Absalom, because it's very similar to what that counsel is. It is to upset the authority that Yahweh sets and for individuals to assume authority that they do not have and that was never given to Yahweh. As Yahweh said, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have turned the people from their wickedness. And notice, of the wicked, the secret counsel of the wicked, verse 2, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. And we're going to see this word constantly throughout this. These workers of iniquity here, who sharpen their tongues like a sword and who bend their bows. Notice this now, shooting arrows of poisonous remarks. They shoot secretly from ambush at the perfect. That is the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and would have no fear. They encourage each other in their evil plans. They speak of land's secret snares, thinking, who will see us? And it's not the attitude of the workers of iniquity, you know, of the adulterers, the adulteresses, all of this. They all say, who will see us? Who will know what it is that we're doing? They plot iniquities. Notice this, saying, we have perfected the perfect crime. Both the inward thought and the heart of a devious man or woman are devious. But Yahweh will suddenly shoot them with an arrow, and the wound will be their own. Turn to Psalms 55, verse 9, real quick, and I'm going to move through this because I want to make a point here. Notice this in verse 9. Destroy, O Yahweh, the divided, then divide their tongues. We have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they surround the city on its walls. Notice down in verse 12, for it is not an enemy who reproaches us, for we could bear that. It is not one who hates us who has magnified himself against us, for we could hide ourselves from him. But it was you, O man, who is our so-called friend, our equal, an associate, and an acquaintance. But it was you, and notice here, who took intimate counsel together. But notice, these are people. Believe me, this is going on right now, brother. Right now. But the one thing they have found out, that Yemnaya is not going to bend for any one of them. No matter how high, no how much power that you have. The one thing I do know is that Yahweh has committed me to this work. He has given me the knowledge and wisdom of it. And I'm going to die trying to accomplish this work. And you're going to have to kill me in order to stop me. And that's a fact. So who took intimate counsel together and walked with haste to the house of Yahweh in the midst of the congregations? May desolation come upon them, because this is what's coming. May they go down to Sheol the grave quickly. For evil is in their dwellings and evil is in their hearts. Evening and morning and at noon, notice verse 17, we will pray and cry aloud, and you will hear our voices. You redeem our souls in peace from the battle that was against us. For there are many, notice this word here, for there are many that are against us right now. Yahweh, you will hear and afflict them. You who abide from ancient time will answer those whom there are no changes now. Yeah. then they don't have it in their heart to change and come in conformity with the covenant, who do not reverence you. And notice verse 23, but you, Yahweh, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half of their lives. And look over to 56. We're going to start in verse 5. Say, all the day they twist our words against us, although there are thoughts of evil. They gather together, they hide, they watch our steps. Notice, they watch our steps as they lie in wait for our lives. And you remember this, and this is a law being broken right here. And see, in Leviticus 19:16, you can put this in for your own notes, where Yahweh says there in Leviticus 19:16, if you look at that statute there, when you have an opportunity, and I will just quickly read it because I have it here. But it said, you shall not go about talebearing or slandering among your people. And here's the key thing that King David was relaying to. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am Yahweh. And these are the laws that they are breaking here when they do this. Then shall our enemies turn back, verse 9, in the day that we called upon you. In you, Yahweh, we praise your law. In you, Yahweh, we praise your word. In you, Yahweh, we have put our trust, and we will not be afraid. What can man do to us? There is nothing that man can do to us, and that's a fact. Turn over to, real quickly, to Exodus chapter 12, because I want to get into this Passover, and I want to talk about something that Moshe, that Yahweh wants us to focus on, and I want to get to this point. But I also want to, before I do this, quickly, let me do this real quickly before I get off the mind. In Exodus chapter 4, and I just want to recount something here, that every time that a work, a great work is about to occur, and you've seen this in the story of Moshe, and it was written for our understanding and our learning, and I want everybody to understand this tonight as we enter into Passover, because these are the things that are developing right now. And Yahweh wants us to be aware of what's going on. You remember in this time period, this is when Yahweh called Moshe to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And he delivered them from oppression, the oppression that was there. And I spoke about the name Mizraim and how the name Mizraim revealed this stifling pressure and oppression that was there. And when we get to the feast, I'm going to talk about this oppression deeply. And I'm going to show you where nations in this aspect are breaking certain laws and statutes of Yahweh. And we got to write to them. And it's going to bring us much persecution in doing so, as it's doing me now for the things that I've written. I am suffering at the hands of, not suffering, they actually think that they're breaking something upon me. But they're not at all. They just think that it's going to slow me down or shut me up or whatever it is. But, you know, when I wrote things against certain systems within this government, these individuals, they read your work. And when the opportunity comes, they're going to try to see if they can undermine you in any manner whatsoever. And they will use individuals to do so. And here it is, and Moshe experienced this himself before he done this great work. And there are certain things that I want to show you here, that Moshe was timid, if you remember here, in actually coming forth. And I'm just going to explain this without reading the scriptures, and you all can read Exodus chapter 4. I recommend that you do. And when Yahweh called him and told him, go to Egypt and tell my people that I see their oppression, and you go and deliver them from this oppression, okay? But you yourself must do something, though, for these people in order for my protection to be upon them, which we're going to get on. But I have to bring this point about Moshe, because it has never been brought to into light before. And it must be understood tonight. And you notice here in verse 21 and 4, we're going to start right there. And well, verse 16, real quickly, let me read this. And when Moshe, Yahweh told Moshe this, then he will speak to you, to the people for you, speaking of Aaron. And it would be as if you were his mouth, and you would be to him an inspiration from Yahweh. And this is what this says over here in the footnote. That is, you will be as a wise counselor, full of the Holy Spirit of Yahweh. And you will guide Aaron in what he is to do and what he's to say when he goes before Pharaoh and before the people. But if you notice that Moshe built this confidence later and he was able to speak to Pharaoh. Notice verse 22, though. He said, then shall you say to Pharaoh, this is what Yahweh says. Listen to this, brother. This is what it's all about. This is the reason why the attacks are coming. Because Yahweh says in Urimia, remember, he said, never again would they say, blessed is he who delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It won't be said, that won't be remembered anymore. But the similar deliverance is coming today. And this work we're about to do, a tremendous work. And I'm going to show you what starts to develop, is developing now to prevent this work from coming forth. And we must guard against it. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, this is what Yahweh said, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I told you to let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. So I will kill your son, your firstborn. And at the feast, I'm going to talk about this in detail because I want everyone to understand what it is that Yahweh is doing here. But I got to talk about something else right now. But you're going to understand what gave Yahweh the right. What law, what statute that gave him the right to execute the firstborns in Egypt? And what does this all mean for us? And why did Yahweh command Moshe when he said to go to Pharaoh and said, told Pharaoh, I told you to let my son go, Israel. That is the people. He is my firstborn. You ought to let him go. Now, he didn't say that because these are my people and you've been having them in just oppression and slavery and all of this. He said, these are my firstborn. This is my son. Let them go. And we're going to understand this fully. But notice verse 23. But you, and I told you to let my son go so he may worship me, but you refuse to let him go. So I will kill your son, your firstborn. Then it says, on the way to meet Yahweh at the house of Yahweh. Now notice, but in the King James Bible, it speaks of this a little differently. And the house of Yahweh has translated this in the book of Yahweh in this manner. But I want to show that their translation is not in vain. It's just that certain aspects of it does not disclose what it is that Yahweh wants you to understand right here, what took place. Okay? But in the King James Bible, it actually says this, and it came to pass by the way in the inn, I-N-N, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, why would Yahweh, and this is the question I want to ask, why would Yahweh meet Moshe and then seek to kill him? Doesn't make any sense. He called the man to do a work, but now he's going to meet him, as it says here. But then all of a sudden now, Yahweh said he sought to kill him. And this is, I'm going to show you that this is not speaking of Yahweh at all. But it's speaking of something that took place here that I think everyone needs to understand. They need to understand this tremendously. Because this word way that is written here, and it says, and it came to pass by the way in the end. This word way is 1870 in the Strong's, which is the word Derek or Durak, which means a way of life. The counsel or a course or mode of action, and it also represents an undertaking and a manner and custom of behavior and a mode of life. And so here it is. It says, it came to pass by the way, that is this way of life that Moshe was teaching, and the mode and the undertaking that Yahweh had given him to do, and the work that was placed before him. Notice this in this word. I'm going to read this again now. This word means a way of life, a course or mode of action, a undertaking, a manner or a custom of behavior or a mode of life that this man was ordained by Yahweh to go and teach the children of Israel and to undertake them and bring them out of oppression into the inherited land. But notice, by the way, in the end, and this word end here is from the Hebrew word milan, which is 44:11. It means a lodgment or an encampment. It means to stay permanently. Hence, in the bad sense, it means to be obstinate, that is stubborn, that is somebody that is finna be revealed to you right now, was very stubborn. And in the words, they started to complain and murmur and then hold a grudge because they didn't want to participate in this work. Notice it, man. They didn't want to participate in this work. And the undertaking that Yahweh had given Moshe at this time period, because Moshe was going to take them to lodge in Egypt in order to do a work and take them to a permanent lodging place that this individual could not see. They couldn't see the vision. They couldn't see what Yahweh had. It had the direction and the work that was permitted and given to Moshe. They couldn't see it at that time period. And notice, they begin to complain and murmur and hold a grudge. This word is showed on page 739 by Dr. Furz, means to express an expression of discontent, to curse, murmurings, and is to practice enchantments. And this is what I want to emphasize right here. And this is the reason why the scripture speaks so heavily against women conversing with familiar spirits. Okay? And if you, and you know, I know some here have dealt with familiar spirits and they can understand something that I'm going to bring here. When one starts to complain and starts to murmur, they don't realize that they are starting a process. And by the way, this actually shows a condition that goes on in the heart. And Yahweh shows this in the Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word shows that when one begins to murmur and complain, there is an atypical sound of the heart. It is indicating or identifying a functional or structural abnormality that starts to occur in the human heart here. And see, what begins to occur here with this murmuring is there are sounds that are made. And you see this in the concept that Isaiah was talking about, which this Hebrew word I'm about to show you starts to get into. And is the where the scripture speaks of peeping and muttering, where they begin to peep and mutter. But notice from this Hebrew word, though, now that this individual starts to complain and murmur, holding a grudge, and start expressing discontent, and begins to curse. And as a result of this, starts to practice enchantments. And they don't even realize that this is exactly what they're doing. And women are so exposed to this because of the fact that the fascination, how the mind, and I'm going to get into this in another work down the road to show him why the apostle said they are the weaker vessel. Okay, and I'm showing this because of this individual here that I'm about to show you, that any one of us could be a vehicle by which you could become one who can try to hinder the work at this particular time period. And by the undertaking that Yahweh's given each and every one of us here. But anyway, now, in this Hebrew word, like I said, this murmuring is showing you a function of the heart. And here I'm talking about Zipporah, because Zipporah was the wife of Moshe. And I'm going to show you what was transpiring with this woman. Okay? And this word means a functional and structural abnormality. Grumbling, complaining, a half expression of muted complaints, to be influenced by charms and incantations. to be bewitched, that is, to be influenced or affected injuriously by witchcraft, that is, rebellion. You remember in 1 Samuel 5, 15, verse 22, that Samuel said that rebellion, now that occurs with any one of us, man or woman, rebellion is as to sin of witchcraft. And I can't get in deep about this and how, why did the great prophet or judge Samuel associate rebellion with witchcraft? Because I'm telling you, there are certain things that goes on in the heart that opens them up and they start to build this preternatural spirit that comes to comfort them in one of the weakest moments in their lives. And I saw this with my own mother when I was back home. And she was in contact with an individual that had a familiar spirit, and I was there, and I saw this spirit as I was teaching her about what it was that she was experiencing, and this spirit rose up. I could not cast it out of her because of the fact that she would not let this spirit go. She wouldn't let it go. But in this, while she was peeping and muttering, that's what I was constantly telling this spirit. Let me explain to the people. Rhea was there. My grandmother was there. Everybody was there seeing this. When this spirit rose up, just at the preaching of Yahweh's word, right? And this spirit rose up. And my mother was effusively crying. And I told her, this spirit entered you at one of the most weakest points in your life. And that everything around you at that time period, you begin to complain. And what I'm telling you, this opens you up. It opens you up. And that's the reason why the prophet Samuel was talking about this. He said rebellion, even speaking to King Shaul, is as the sin of witchcraft because it's associated with it. And I'm going to get deep to prove what I'm saying. I'm telling you this now, but I'm going to prove what I'm saying here later on when I can get to it. But because of the fascination that it gives to the mind that helps them draw in to mean to incur. This is how it comes into them is that they let down their guard. They run into the spirit and it becomes very charming, very fascinating. And then they become liable, a subject to it. And it brings down upon oneself and brings something upon them that because of they let down their guard and they were, first of all, not engulfed in the word or in the processes of what Yahweh wants us to do and focusing your mind on what Yahweh has us to do. And this is what I want to talk about Passover here real quickly as I go on, because I'll get deeper about this in another setting and bringing out these words. But you notice that by the way of the end, this is what I'm telling you, this is a mode of life and the undertaking that Moshe was prophesied and directed by Yahweh to teach the children of Israel and undertake a process that caused this individual to begin to complain, and not only that, become a rebel wife right here. And you're finna see what it is that occurred. And notice here, let me go on with this right here, because I got to show this, because this is something Yahweh is teaching us, and it can come to us. Then Zipporah, now in other words, that the Lord, this word Lord here, is not speaking of Yahweh in itself. And I don't have time. Let me go back. When it says that, let me see in the what it says. I think it's verse 24. It says, "And the Lord met him." Well, this word "Lord" here is the word Adonai. And when you look this word up in Hebrew, and please check me out when I tell you this. This word "Lord" is number 113 in the Strong's, and Dr. Furs on page 23. The Hebrew Child Lexicon shows this, that it is a fact, it is used as an honorary epithet of a deity. Get that now? This word Lord, Adonai, is an honorary epithet of a deity. to be explained agreeably and to be presented to the view. It is the action of this epithet of this particular deity here. And this deity we know of is not speaking of Yahweh. This deity is a spirit being that met Moshe at this time period. And notice, this word met means to encounter, to rush upon anyone, to attack him. Now, would Yahweh do this to Moshe? Moshe encounter Yahweh, and Yahweh will rush upon him to attack him. Because this word, this scripture here is not speaking of Yahweh. The translator translated this, Yahweh, in here, but this is speaking of an honorary title, of an epithet of a deity who, as I showed y'all in one of the books, I think it's Worlds Something and Chaos. I can't remember the name of William Cohen. I told y'all about the book last time I spoke. I can't remember the name of the book right off the top of my head. But in that book, he speaks of this deity that is spoken of in the book of Enoch, in the book of Jubilees, whose name is Mastemia. He was a deity, a spirit being that was given control over all the demonic forces in the earth. He is called the prince of the demons, or the prince of the host, as Daniel called him as well. And speaking of these spirit beings, and you remember even in Daniel, he described this world warfare going on with Micaiah and the princes and the kings of Greece, which is speaking of a spiritual battle here that is going on. And these individuals were in control of kings and nations and people who were ruling there. The same thing is going on today, bro, under the scene right now. And this being encountered this being who sought to kill him, to prevent the work from going forth, because Yahweh would never prevent his work from going forth and try to kill him. These people inserted Yahweh in the place of a spirit being who sought to kill Moshe. But notice who this being used and influenced. Because the being didn't come, but Moshe didn't encounter the spirit being in form, but he encountered the spirit being through an individual. who this being entered and started to influence this individual's in order to prevent the work from coming forth, or the individual who Yahweh is called to do the work, or individuals. Listen to me. And notice this now. Moshe encountered this being called Mastemia. And when he encountered Mastemia, this being rushed upon him to attack him, that is to kill him. And then it shows you, then the scripture goes on to say, then Zipporah, it says in the King James Bible, violently seized him, for he had circumcised his son. She threw the foreskin at Moshe's feet, saying, "You are a bridegroom of blood to me." And what she was then recounting to Moshe, who in conjunction with this woman who he had married, had told her about the murder that he had committed in Egypt. And you remember prior to this, that Yahweh said, the people who sought to kill you because of what you did are no longer there. But this woman knew this. She knew what Moshe had done. But the King James Bible doesn't say that she was a bridegroom of blood, but he said, "You are surely a bloody husband art thou to me." And she repeated this twice. And you look this word of bloody, it means one, it is someone who, as a result, is guilty of a particular murder or a crime. And I don't have time to break down every word, because I got to get to the part that I want to get to real quickly. But what she was recounting to Moshe, that he was a murderer. And Moshe at this time period fled from her, not knowing that here is a woman that I'm taking with me into this work, to do this work, but this woman might be the one that get me killed, okay? In order to prevent me from coming forth or doing Yahweh's work. She could be the very one. So Moshe fled from her, the scripture says. But we know later on that Moshe actually put this woman away. You remember this is actually shown in Exodus. When Exodus, I think that's 18th chapter, I believe that is. Yeah, the 18th chapter. When Jethro had received Zipporah. And this word receive here means that he instructed her. Look the word up. He began to instruct her in the way of Yahweh again. But after he had sent her back, and this word sent back means Moshe separated from this woman in order to continue the work, but she was brought back to him. And remember, he was persecuted because of this by Aaron and Miriam because of the acceptance of this woman, because they knew what the woman had done. They already knew what the woman done, trying to prevent the work from coming forth. These are also individuals, and I'm just using these as an example, because all of this led up to the point that I want to get to, and turn to Exodus 12, and we're going to start there, and I'm going to skip some of this, and I'll deal with it on another day. We're going to start in verse 13, because I want to deal with this about the blood, and about 11, real quickly. Now, notice in Exodus 12, verse 13, and it says, "And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are." And if you'll notice in the footnote over there in the book of Yahweh, this blood is a sign of consent. It's a sign of consent. And Yahweh wants every one of us to realize what he meant by this blood being on the houses. And how now, when we take in this blood, you remember Yahshua spoke about this himself when he said this in Yochanan, and you can read this on your own. When he speaks of the bread, him bringing the bread of life, because, and this is going to tie into unleavened bread, because you got to understand why we eat unleavened bread and why does the law say this. If you look over here in verse 19, it says, 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. For whosoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether a stranger or a native born. And this word leaven here is from the Hebrew word kamak. And that's 2557. And this word means a ferment. Notice, which brings in the microzymas. And Yahweh wants you to understand something about this. This is where you find the microzymas in scripture, okay? Because this word, look it up for yourself, it means a ferment. But it also means extortion, which I'm going to talk about deeply. Because Passover is all about this. And this whole event of the children of Israel being in Egypt under the oppression, and the things that were going on with them was all based on this distortion that this leaven is talking about. And we got to understand this because we're experiencing it today. And I'm going to get deep into it at the feast and show you the laws that are being broken and what Yahweh wants us to realize when he brought them out and they're celebrating their national sovereignty. This is one thing that Yahweh said must not be amongst you. The things that you saw in Egypt, you must not bring into this government. None of it, none of the ways of Egypt must be brought in. And notice, this word means figurative of extortion. And this word kamite means violence. Notice, it means to be leaven, literally to be pungent or fig, to be harsh, cruel, or grievous. Shemak means violence. By implication, wrong. Either by unjust gain, cruelty, wrong, false, injustice, oppression, or being an oppressor, unrighteousness, maliciousness. He said, this is a description of the divinely established order of things that you are fighting against when you have this in it, this cruelty, this maliciousness, wrongly imagining and violently taking away something from somebody. That which is generally by violence and wrong, this is fig of the mind, to be something going on in the mind now, to be unjust or to injure. And this word also means leaven, as we know that Yahshua explained this. He said that this word means to oppress someone or to violate the law. But the key thing that Yahweh wants us to understand here, that this violence, this wrong, this unjust, this cruelty, this maliciousness that cannot be in the mind for 7 days, none of these sinful things. When we take of unleavened bread, which unleavened bread, if you look this word up in itself, what Yahweh is showing you is that we are greedily, when one takes in unleavened bread, he is greedily devouring sweetness, which is pleasantness. This is something pleasant to the body. The body enjoys this. This is Yahweh's law. This is the pleasantness that the law brings. And we should be taking this into us constantly throughout those 7 days. Never things of maliciousness. We got guard against this. Cruelty towards others. Unjust gain. Any of these things must not be amongst a brother. They must dwell together in unity. And for 7 days, be without these sins. And be without sin for 7 days. And this is what Yahweh is saying. And this is how you honor and keep the memorial to Yahshua. Is that you become as he is, one without sin. And Yahweh says, just do this for 7 days. Don't let the thought of maliciousness, hatefulness, cruelty, or causing grievousness to one another be in you at all these 7 days. But eat unleavened bread. And eat this in sincerity and in truth. And you remember this, one of the apostles spoke about this in 1 Corinthians. If you turn over there real quickly. 1 Corinthians is that the Apostle Shaul spoke about this very thing. Let me get you that. 1 Corinthians, I think that's chapter, that'd be in chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual impurity among you, and such sexual impurity is not even named among the Gentiles. That a man has his own father's wife, and if you are puffed up with pride, but should you not rather have mourned, so that one who has done these deeds might have been removed from among you? Indeed, for my part, though absent in the body but present in the spirit, I have already passed judgment about the one who has acted in this way, as if actually present. When you and my spirit have come together with the power of the King Yahshua Messiah, notice this, those verse 5, you are to hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved for the day of Yahshua. Notice verse 6, your arrogant pride is not righteous. You're speaking to both men and women here. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. That is this pleasantness, this peace that we must be a representative of. We must be peacemakers, always seeking to bring peace, not maliciousness. For truly, Yahshua, our power, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Neither with the leaven of malice. Get that now? And this word right here, now this malice means, this word means petty feelings, often expressed in harassments, anger, wickedness, jealousy, envy, whatever it may be. And wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And this is what Yahweh is saying to us here, that he wants. Now this word here, now leaven, this is what Yahweh doing wrong. To treat one violently or to oppress violently. Is this not what the children of Israel were going through Egypt? And when Yahweh told them not to eat unleavened bread, he just was saying this because of the fact that they didn't have time to knead the dough. And he told them, even in the ceremony that he gave them, to eat bitter herbs. Eat these bitter herbs. It was to remind them of this bitterness that they went through. from unbelievers and sinful people, and all of the sins of maliciousness and hatred, the oppression that they were under and seeing, and said, do not partake of this. Do not allow this inside your life. There are people who are among you who will rise up and have learned the ways of Egypt. And remember Stephen, the great and righteous brother Stephen, actually said that their hearts have returned back to Egypt, to this maliciousness, this oppression. And they join in with those who oppress others. And these are the ones that crowd together and assemble together. They are treacherous men, the scripture said. And that word treacherous just means they're faithless. They have no faith in the covenant. Now remember, the blood that Yahshua, that Yahweh told them to put on the houses and the door frames, he said, this is a sign. When you do this, this is a sign to you of your consent to the covenant. And when Yahshua held the memorial, which we're going to do, and we're going to do this with understanding in mind today, he said, eat this, because this bread represents my body that was shed for you. And he says, take and eat this. And I don't have time to go through the scriptures, but I will later on to tie this into the unleavened bread. This was Yahshua was symbolic of everything that was pleasant and peaceful about him. Remember the apostle said, when he was reviled, he did not revile back. He was beaten and spitted on, but he opened not his mouth. See, the maliciousness went in Yahshua because he had to be the example of what Yahweh wanted in us. And when we eat this unleavened bread, he is telling you to examine yourself to make sure that these things are not in you. All of the things of Egypt, all of the things that we are leaving out in this world today, all the sexual impurities, the adultery, the fornication, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, the cruelty that you see in this world, who oppress others for their own gain and extort individuals just as they did them in Egypt, which I'm going to get into very deeply when I get to the fees. Because like I told one individual, is that Babylon is going to fall. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to come against this system with everything that's in me. And the only thing that's going to stop me is if Yahweh permits man to kill me. But other than that, they're going to feel and see what Yahweh means, that Babylon will be taken. That is by the word of Yahweh, not by sword and not by might, but by the word of Yahweh. That's the way it's going to be brought down. And we're going to show them where their sins are. But these things must not be in any of us anymore. And we must practice this at this feast before Yahweh. For 7 days, Yahweh says, do not have these things in you. Practice to be just like Yahshua in the presence of your brother. What a wonderful thing it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, to have the same mind and the same heart, looking to the firstborn son that Yahweh said, bring my son out of here. In retrofit to Yahshua, which I'm going to talk about at the feast, because we got to understand this. Why did Yahweh kill the firstborns of Ham? What was the reason? What law, what judgment gave Yahweh this right to do so? And we got to understand this, because the same thing is occurring today. These ones are trying to prevent the sons of Yahweh from coming forth. And sometimes they use individuals who you are associated with in order to shut the mouths and to subvent the work. And you remember one of the apostles in itself, he spoke about this. And I think that's in Galatians, where the apostle Shaul, in dealing with this, and even in his day, when he spoke about this, he himself tells us to beware of certain things that will come forth from these unbelievers. It's in Philippians verse 3. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And beware of the consensions. Beware of them. And look this word up for yourself. I don't have to do it. I want Yahweh to bless you with what he's telling you here. Beware of this. Because there are people who are secretly, and they will secretly creep in. And the demonic forces will use them. And they don't even realize that they have given themselves over. Just like Yada Azakor. When Yahshua broke the bread and gave to him, what did he say? The Satan entered him. And this word Satan, you look it up, is the same term for the word Lord and adversary. Because that's what Mastamia is. And he said, we are going to influence man. And I'll get into who this being is, and I'm going to break him down. Because Noah taught his sons against him. He actually brought forth herbs to stop the disease that these individuals wrought among mankind today in order to stop and prevent the work. And that is the key to it all. But this word unleavened, it means to devour for sweetness. It is not sour or bitter. Bitter with yeast. Notice this now. It is not. They don't have extortion in them. The ill-gotten wealth. To do wrong, to rob. And we're going to get into, like I said, I'm going to skip some of this. And let me get to one other thing. And this word unleavened means, notice, because these two things are speaking of not having righteousness and evil in you, the mixture. You can't have leaven and unleavened in you. It's a mixture. And that's why Yahweh said you can't partake of this leaven and unleavened bread at the same time. In other words, you can't eat of the tree of the mixture of righteousness and evil. And the Passover is establishing this in us. And for 7 days, Yahweh says, practice living without sin. Practice pleasantness, peace. And it will develop in us year by year. Not only that, when we partake of Yahshua's memorial, we give our consent to the covenant every year. That we're still consenting to the covenant. And we look to him as being our Passover sacrifice. Not only that, but the unleavenedness that we take in for 7 days emulates the life that he lived for us. That we will partake of nothing that is sinful. And we must all, when we eat this bread, this feast, for 7 days, this must be in your thoughts. Because Yahweh wants to know that you are conscious of this. That every day we eat, and every time we eat unleavened bread, we are reminded that we should be just like Yahshua and have no leaven in us. None of the things that are the fruits of the unholy spirit, as Galatians talked about. And these things it tells you to avoid and don't have in your life. And these are the works of the flesh. And we must guard ourselves against these. All the uncleanness, licentiousness, hatred, contentions, evil jealousies, self-ambitions, dissensions, disagreements with quarrelings, envy, murder, drunkenness. All of these things that Yahweh said, such who have these things are practicing. Practice these things, excuse me, will not ever inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And for my last scripture, I want to emphasize what Yahweh is saying here. It's in Exodus 34. He repeats this by Moshe. And I will get deeper into this when he tells Moshe in Exodus 34. And let's start in verse 24. He said, and I will drive out the nations in front of you and enlarge your borders. No man will covet your land when you go up to appear before Yahweh, your father, 3 times in a year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Do you get that now? You should not offer the blood of my sacrifice, which shows your consent to the covenant. How can this be? How can the blood of the sacrifice, which Yahshua said, drink this? This represents the blood of the renewed covenant. And I just showed you that this word blood means a token of consent. So how can one consent to keeping the law and then also offer, along with that sacrifice, leaven? Within themselves. And the excuses of blaming everyone else for your own sins and your own choosings, your own goings, is not going to make your situation, is not going to make the circumstances, the curses go away. The only thing that will make those things go away is to resubmit to the covenant and to the laws. And trying to bring harm or trip the heel, as Esau did, this spirit, notice, this is all what I've been talking about, is the spirit of Esau. These characteristics that you find in the individual who are always trying to trip the heel of the one that they hate. And they don't even realize that they're being used. But they're not fighting against me. They're fighting against the spirit and the work. Then Yahweh said to Moses, write, notice this now, I'm going to read this again now. You shall not offer, verse 25, the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the Passover feast be left until morning. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, write these words, and I'm going to do it too. For in accordance with the words, with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And we're going to get deep into this because notice, he tells us, write these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And it is our job to bring them back out of Egypt again, out of sin. And then to where once again, here real soon, that they will celebrate the Passover, that is their national sovereignty, once again, in sincerity and in truth, Yahweh says, they will do this. But first it starts with us. Yahweh said, judgment begins with the house of Yahweh, that is the children of Yahweh. Then he said, but woe to those who have departed from this faith or from the covenant. Woe is them. It was better for them not have known the way of truth than have to return back to sin again. A worse thing is going to come upon them when they do so. And in that day, Yahshua said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Sad thing. With that, I'll turn this back over. Please, study the things that I have brought out about leaven. Don't take my word for it. Find out what Yahweh is saying to us about leaven and unleavened bread. Why the two, not even leaven, could be used in any sacrifice. And he tells the children of Israel against it. Because he was trying to remind them of what it is that they're allowing inside their bodies. Because as Dr. Bichamp showed in his work, that the fermentation process is the process of all that you see in the human body. It's a fermentation process. And when the body is not, and the terrain of the body is changed, then the disease process starts to develop. And that's the reason why Yahshua said a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. And this process begins to spread. And you start to see the bitterness and all of these things that are associated with leaven, with the concept of leaven, start to develop in these individuals' lives. Instead of the pleasantness, the peace that the covenant is trying to get them to partake of. We must partake of the unleavened, the pleasantness, the peace, and show Yahweh that we truly desire to be peacemakers. And with this, I'll turn it back over to whoever you're offering.